Blog Talk Radio.
Living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit come forward to be with us now and to bring us the revelation from this your word that is true, Father, so that we be not deceived. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 8th chapter of Romans. We finished 7 this morning. Now we're going in to chapter 8. Here in verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now many of the manuscripts and all that we read and all and study, they omit or leave out that phrase, the phrase of who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's left out. Now, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, we know that when we walk in the Spirit, there is no sin there, nor can we bring sin into it. And you see, because sin separates us from Almighty God. Jesus, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You know, we're talking here about the law of being weak. But you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with the law. It's the presence of the sin that renders us as believers powerless to do what the law demands. In the likeness of sinful flesh, Christ was truly human, but not a sinner. We know he wasn't. He walked this earth his whole life without sin, which was an example to let you and I know that that is possible and should be done as we become that born-again child of the living God. Now, four. It comes on down and tells us that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, righteousness goes with the Spirit. Think about this. Sin separates us from Almighty God and the Spirit. But righteousness will bring us closer unto the Spirit. Now, why? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Because you see, the two don't mix. The flesh and the Spirit are enmity against each other. The flesh wants things that are wrong, that are sin. It takes pleasure and enjoyment in a lot of those things, where the Spirit wants nothing to do with it and will have nothing to do with it. Now, six. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What kind of shape is your mind and heart in? Is it walking in carnality? Or is it walking spiritually minded in life and peace? No. Seven. because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, it can't be. Now, they just don't mix. Eight. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You just keep walking in the flesh, in darkness. There's no way that you'll ever be pleasing unto God. You've got to come out of that darkness, and you've got to come to the point of going to the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting and get out of that flesh and start your life in the Spirit, that you want to be pleasing unto God. Now, nine, Paul is telling us here, he says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. He's talking here about that Holy Spirit of Almighty God that's in all of his children. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. No, if you've never been to the Lord and went through the Lord, and repentance and being forgiven, you're letting you know that you're none of his. 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Oh boy. You see, when we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, this body then is separated from sin. Now we know that to walk in the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And he's talking about quickening your mortal body. The resurrection is bodily, and resurrected believers will, like Christ, receive a new physical form, just as Christ did. So will those that belong to him. 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. No, you and I, if we are a child of God, we are living after the Spirit. And we're doing that by living in the truth of God's words and His commandments to us and to our lives. Now, 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If you want to continue living in sin, you're going to die or be separated from God. But if you walk in the Spirit, then you will live. 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, you are considered as one of His sons. But there's also something else comes to you besides that. 16. Or 15, really. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit will bear witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heir with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Think about it. Now, 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He's telling us there, you know, the glory which shall be revealed, which has brought the blessed hope of the Christian to look ahead with anticipation to this great moment of knowing who they are and how they stand with Jesus. 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, the creature, our creation, that eagerly looks forward to the revelation of the Son of God in the millennium, that thousand years of Christ's earthly reign, because that is the time when the curse will be lifted and creation will be restored to Adam condition. It will be restored as it was in the Garden of Eden. Think about that. The thousand years of his reign here on this earth, that he will be king over all. Now, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. That vanity, which actually means emptiness, frailty, and folly, and is a reference to the curse of actually even of Genesis 3:14-19, and considers the whole thing as unnecessary. Creation did not actively participate. No, it was man. It fell. It wasn't creation. It was man. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You see, he's talking here about being delivered from the bondage of corruption. Because, you see, there will be no more death. And the creature looks forward to the millennia when redeemed man is glorified and will never again have to face God's curse. There's a whole lot in here for us to really write on the tablets of our hearts so we don't forget it. Now, 22, they were talking about, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan in ourselves. And we know that the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the first installment of the glory yet to follow. He's using the word groan. The believer groans because of the conflict experienced in and from which he needs a final and complete deliverance. This is the ultimate answer to Christ, which will deliver us by the resurrection and the glorification of our bodies. One day, if we will continue our walk with Him, staying in His Word, keeping our bodies pure, and walking in accordance with His will and His way, those are things that you and I will receive. 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience for it. 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, our infirmities can refer to the presence of sin. And we know that groaning, the Spirit also groans along with creation and the believer. And you know, this reference is to the Spirit's interpretation of the believer's innermost feelings, which cannot be put into words. And he searches the heart and denotes divine omniscience. That divine presence of Almighty God. Now, here in 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All of that, he's talking about predestination, being pre-called, and all of that. He brings us to 30 here. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. The calling of God is pretty simple. It occurred before the creation of the world. The calling here is temporal and refers to the effectual communication of the gospel, resulting in salvation, justified, glorified. And glorification is God's doing. While God, foreknowledge and predestination takes place in eternity, and while God's calling and justification are released in history, God's glorifying is yet future. It is as certain as the previous work. It's glorified is in the past tense. From God's point of view, it is already accomplished. You see, we have to really look even at the words, how they are spelled. Is it talking about you being glorified with the ED on the end? Glorified? That's past tense. But you take that ED off, and he's talking about you to be glorified. 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. For us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us? You see, that's why he tells us that he will take care of our needs. We don't have to depend on anyone or anything else when we have put our trust in God. You see, God's elect, the Lord Jesus, and all, and those that he called. You know, is there. And we can have these things because his son died and was raised and now sits at his right hand and intercedes for you and I. These are things we don't really stop and think about in a lot of ways. All right, 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Don't listen to nobody but God and his call to bring you the messages. That's why our pastors in the podium need to be men that God has called to the ministry, because then he is the one that has taught them what he wants them to know, and the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks through them. They didn't learn that by going to a seminary. They call them seminaries. I call most of them cemeteries, because they come out preaching about a Lord Jesus Christ they don't even believe in. And that's why our churches have grown so weak, that we don't see the power of God at work in them. Now, 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see, the Spirit has just got to telling you about that. Now you see it in his word. 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. Nothing should be able to separate us from the love of Christ. 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Almighty God that loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross to make a way for you and I to have life eternal with him. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that should be able to separate you from the love of Almighty God. Not my word. Yes, I just read it to you. There in the 8th chapter of Romans. In the 39th verse, all through that 8th chapter, we have been told about his love for you and I, and how we should stand. All right. We've come to the end now of chapter 8. God willing, come morning, we'll be in chapter 9. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we have closed your words for this evening, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we can come together to share this word with you and with each other so that we can grow in knowledge, in strength, in faith, in physical strength, to be able to go on to do the work, Father, that you would have us to do in this day and time. Use us all, Father, in great and mighty ways. Now, Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace for them. We pray for them all, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, this land of ours has grown so evil, we pray for it tonight. We pray for those that are in offices of leadership that are evil and has brought this evil upon our land and our people to be replaced, Father. Replaced with those that belong to you. Love you to love the Lord Jesus, love your church, your people, and love this country. And Father, we ask you for all of those join in with us in this study and that is part of this ministry. Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health. Let them rest through the night. Now, Father, be with us all and bring us back together again come 10 a.m. in the morning, Father. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good evening and a great night. And may God give you a blessing. Good night, all.